This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun, and that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Welcome to Sugar-Coated Murder Podcast, a brilliant true crime podcast hosted by two zany sisters, all while baking up delicious treats in their kitchen. Here are your podcast hosts, Karen Devaney and Ann Varner.
Well, sugar, here we are.
We made it back.
We came back.
You're COVID-free.
I think I'm COVID-free, but I will tell you I am not over COVID.
Right. Well, I think it takes a really long time to get over COVID. 100%.
I took a 2.5-hour nap again today.
Right.
And we are both having breathing issues, but taking the inhaler at night before we go to bed does help.
Right. That's good.
But we just don't have our energy back. And I guess the doctor told my hubby it takes months and we have to just be patient.
Right.
They didn't mention our age, thank God.
But oh,
I have a feeling
good.
That has something to do with it. I don't know.
I don't think so. But I think it just, your body is still fighting it. But you still don't have your sense of smell back.
I don't have my sense of smell. I did finally get my sense of taste back, but it is a little off on some things.
Right, right.
So there are things that I eat that I think, I know I've eaten this before and have enjoyed it. And right now I'm not enjoying it.
Right.
So that's kind of bothersome. But I mean, you know, I'm not going to starve to death.
But you smelled the bourbon.
And I smelled it and I tasted
it. It's so good.
It's so good. So guys, today we are hitting the bourbon bottle. And for Christmas, from a very special person who was my secret Santa, that's what made him special. I don't want him to think he's special in any other way, except he is engaged to my daughter. He bought me a bottle of Noah's Mill bourbon. It's genuine bourbon whiskey, and it says it's handmade in the hills of Kentucky.
Woo! It is delicious.
So it is 114 proof. And it is very, 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 very good.
It is a smooth operator.
It is. It really is. So we took a little taste with no other, like just neat. And then we decided we needed some ice and a little floater of Coke tonight just so that I don't fall out on the floor before the end of the episode.
Right. Because this is really your first liquor drinking since you got the COVID.
Yes.
So we're not sure how your body's even going to react.
I have no idea. I'm just happy I can taste it.
Yeah.
And it tastes good. I was very worried about my bourbon liking because I did get two really nice bottles of bourbon.
Yeah. No.
For Christmas. So I don't want them to go to waste.
No. Good heavens.
No. So we're back. We have, there's been some changes, some updates.
My
gosh.
We
got new microphones. We're actually trying to be real podcasters.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
They're kind of wireless. So we each have our own mic pack.
It's a little fancy
for us.
But I will tell you that we joined a new network called Believe, B-L-E-A-V, but it's pronounced Believe, like you believe and I believe and we believe. So God bless them. They're trying to make us into real podcasters. The first thing they suggested was to get some mics that hook to us
right.
And not the mic that is just like the standalone mic. And hopefully that will help with some feedback. And they also had us buy some carpets for the kitchen.
Yes.
So I'm on a carpet runner and standing in the kitchen right now on a big carpet.
It's weird to have carpet on my kitchen, but we'll only keep it down for the podcast.
Yeah. And we'll roll that back up as part of our cleanup session.
But the nice thing is, Trout's quite comfortable on the carpet in the kitchen licking
with his
bowl,
lick mat so while his mama is baking.
Hopefully
so
that'll take
care
of his issue.
We're hoping that's going to solve some problems. So we'll
listen, we couldn't have done this whole rug buy-in microphone upgrade situation if we hadn't been selling our Kilo Vanilla.
I know. So thank you for everybody. Thank you. So we were able to use proceeds from Kilo Vanilla and then just a little bit out of our pockets.
And we had a little buy me a coffee money.
We had some buy me a coffee money. Yeah. So we really appreciate it. It's things like that. You think, oh, I'm only giving them $5 here. I'm only buying a thing of vanilla and, you know, what's the big deal? It really makes a difference because we squirrel away that money until we have a big purchase. And then it really helps us not have to pull so much of our personal funds over, especially at Christmas. We were buying the microphone right after Christmas and the rugs and everything. And we were able to do that. Thank you so much for supporting us.
Thank you.
Speaking of Kilo Vanilla, we've got a new batch ready to
go. Yes, it is. I'm so excited.
So I think we just sold 2 bottles.
We did. We sold 2 bottles. They got shipped out today.
Thank you, Jamie.
Yes.
You know who you are.
You know who you are.
Yeah, so we're very, very excited. So during my nap today, you to know, I was having some wild dreams, but one of the things that I dreamed, was that my husband and I were in a huge department store.
Oh.
And we kept laying down in these really weird places and taking a nap. I must have been really tired in my nap.
Oh my.
And as we were doing it, I would get up and then I would lose my wallet.
Oh gosh.
And then we would have to go look for my wallet. It was quite hysterical.
Oh, that's
funny. Before I dreamed that, what I dreamed that was that you and I had sent out prayer boxes for Christmas to all of our listeners.
Wow.
We made them. They looked like little Chinese food boxes in miniature.
Wow.
And they had prayers for each listener. We were very crafty.
Wow.
Sorry, guys, that you never got your prayer boxes.
That was a dream.
But I woke up and thought, my God, who did we send prayer boxes to?
We did not. We did Christmas cards. We did not do prayer boxes.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe that's something we're supposed to do next year. I'm not sure. I don't know where the prayer box came from.
I don't know if I'm the right person to send out a prayer box.
I'm not the person to send out a prayer. First of all, I'm not the person to craft anything.
No,
we're not crafty. We're crappy.
As per the last year when we tried to do all the Christmas crafts and our peppermints melted into big globs of yuck because we live in South Carolina.
I know,
and
we never considered the humidity.
Outside in humidity.
Yeah, lessons learned. So anyway, that's our big update news. It's been quite an adventure with this new network, and they have there's over 400 podcasts on this network. A lot of them are sports. So if you're a big sports fan, there is a sports podcast in there for you. I can guarantee it. And then they've also got some pop culture, a little bit of true crime, some, you know, brewski, liquor stuff. I mean, it's pretty cool.
But there's only one of us.
There is only one of us. And that's a law in the land.
A law in the land.
It's the law. There can only be one Sugar Sister podcast.
Yeah, exactly.
There's only one of me and there's only one of you.
All right. So I'm in the kitchen this week.
I know. And what are you baking?
I found a recipe for a remake of a Little Debbie oatmeal cake.
And that is my favorite Little Debbie.
I was looking for oatmeal something because we got winter weather here in Charleston right now. It's I know that those of you that are out where the real winter weather happens,
y'all are probably laughing at us. 37 degrees here.
They're calling for 1/10 of an inch of ice here,
and we have shut it down.
The whole city is shut down.
But that's okay.
Shut down
because you have to be safe when it comes to ice.
Yes, it's true.
So I did see a meme that said, "If you're not used to driving in the snow or ice, act like
you're taking grandma to church and you got gravy and tea and chicken."
Yes,
and
I thought that was really cute that you've got a bucket of chicken and 2 gallons of iced tea on the back seat, and grandma's in a brand new dress in the front seat with a crock pot full of gravy. Or just don't go.
Daddy always told me to pretend like there was an egg between my foot and the gas pedal.
Yes.
So I had to do not break that egg.
And don't press on the brake.
Don't press the brake. If you start spinning, turn into the spin.
Or just let it go. Jesus, take the wheel.
Yeah. That's it.
Yeah. So I'm excited for your oatmeal pie.
Yes. It's not a hard recipe. It's
where'd you get it?
It's from a place on the interweb called sugarysweets.com.
Well, you know, we love that place.
Sugarysweets.com. And the cookie is just a basic cookie, but you use margarine.
I mean,
when's the last time I used margarine?
I didn't
even
know they sold margarine anymore.
Well, they don't sell a very lot of it. I feel
I almost spit out my very expensive bourbon.
Unless, but I don't know, like, is I can't believe it's not butter. Is that margarine?
I don't know what margarine is. I don't know, because grandma used to call it all oleo.
Right. So I just found the box that said margarine on
it
and got that.
Good for you.
Or you could use Crisco.
The one box from 1987.
Still good.
Oh, yeah. It doesn't. I don't think margarine ever goes to waste. No, I don't think it ever expires.
So you whip all your ingredients up and you scoop them by the tablespoon onto a parchment lined paper and you cook them for, I think it's 6 minutes. 8 to 10 minutes.
Oh, that's good to know.
But it's very important to
always read your directions. That's a big kitchen tip for us.
I read them. I just forgot. Hey, just don't overcook them because you don't want them to be crisp. You know, an oatmeal cookie needs
supposed to be soft.
A Little Debbie oatmeal cookie needs to be soft.
And then what are you going to put in between?
Girl, marshmallow fluff and
our angel cream.
Our angel cream.
That
oh
we my
use.
Gosh. I'm so excited. I cannot wait for this. Very I really exciting. Need this. It's going to pair well with bourbon.
Well, I don't know if I'm going to give you one because you can't taste. It'll be wasted.
I said I got my taste back. I can taste some stuff.
Okay. All right.
It's just weird what I can and cannot taste.
I'll let you have one.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
And while I'm slaving in the kitchen, what are you going to be doing?
I have a murder to discuss.
Fantastical.
I have a murder to discuss. So I'm going to talk about a family.
Oh.
Because we our
family.
And this didn't have a sister in it.
Yeah.
I'm talking about the Hayes family. Jeremy, Ginger, and baby Nicholas. Baby Nicholas is 11 months.
Aw.
I know. Him's just a wee one.
A little tiny baby.
So June 30th, 2001, the Hayes family and Ginger's brother, Tony, her younger brother, Tony.
Tony.
They leave Myrtle Beach, South Kakalaki, where they had been visiting her family, and they start their drive home back to the Hampton Roads, Virginia Beach, Virginia area.
Oh, okay.
Jeremy was a sergeant that was stationed at Langley Air Force Base.
I'm familiar with that area.
Me too. Along the way, they decide to stop in Greenville, North Carolina, and they pull off and park at a CVS. Pretty safe, you would think. They decide, because they want some snacks
and drinks. Yeah, needs a snack.
And instead of stop, they didn't need gas.
They just needed snacks.
They just needed snacks and drinks. And so they decided, okay, we'll pull over and we'll.
Maybe somebody needed a lotion or a chapstick.
Or they could have needed a baby wipe.
Or
I don't know, an ointment. Maybe perhaps they needed an ointment.
A moisturizer.
You don't know. Yes. Jeremy and Tony go into the CVS and Ginger stays out in the car to change Nicholas's diaper. Ginger is doing exactly what all of us have done. She's standing outside the car with the passenger back door open. She has Nicholas laid on the seat. She's leaning over and she's changing her baby's diaper. Simple.
We've done it a million times.
A million times.
Just
without
like that.
Even thinking about it.
No.
Well, we will think about it now.
Yes.
When Jeremy and Tony come back out, there's no car. There's no Ginger.
What?
And there's no baby.
Holy smokes.
So they thought, she's playing a joke on us.
Oh,
so they
right.
go over to a cell phone. No, it's not a cell phone. It was a pay phone. There was something back then called a pay phone. And they start calling these cell phones. Mm-hmm. In the car. No answer. And I'm like, what the heck? In the meantime, there's a postal worker who had been in the parking lot and had witnessed a man shove a woman into the back seat of her car and then force her up into the front, into the passenger seat. And then he gets in the driver's seat and off he drives in the Ford Focus.
Oh, no.
And this Ford Focus is owned by Jeremy and Ginger. The postal worker calls 911 and reports exactly what they saw.
Postal workers unite!
I know. God bless a postal worker. They're everywhere and they're not scared to say something. They say it.
Yes, they do.
Then the postal worker sees Jeremy and Tony standing there with this very verklempt look on their face like, what the?
Right.
And the postal worker goes over and says, I just witnessed your wife being kidnapped.
Oh, no.
I know. So then Jeremy calls the police as well and fills the police in on who's been kidnapped and says, it's my wife, Ginger, and our baby, Nicholas. immediately, a police officer was in the area and probably within 60 seconds pulls into the CVS to see what's going on and starts taking the report. So things are happening very quickly.
Yeah.
A BOLO goes out for the car immediately. An alert goes out for a kidnapping of Ginger and Nicholas with a good description of the car, the tag, everything. Which God bless Jeremy, because I wouldn't know the damn tag. I don't know the tag of my car.
Right.
I don't know.
I don't have mine memorized.
Me neither.
I would have to pull my insurance card out of my wallet.
Which would be in your car, probably.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, if I'm a guy, though, it would be in my wallet. Oh,
it would be in your wallet. Probably.
Because they send you two.
They do. And I'm going to tell you, probably a guy is going to know.
Yeah.
Something tells me a guy's going to know his license plate number, at least part of it.
Right.
Okay. So the BOLO goes out, the description, even the description of the attacker goes out because the postal worker was able to get a pretty good description.
Oh, wow.
So about an hour later, Ginger is seen on video at the Hunter Hill Food Lion in Rocky Mount, North Carolina.
Oh.
Buying batteries and using her debit card to withdraw $100.
Okay.
On the video with her is a man who is seen standing very close behind her and whispering in her ear the entire time. Ginger looks terrified.
Ugh.
So police recognize the man on the video immediately as Andre Edwards, and they go looking for him.
We're coming for you, Andre.
That's right. So meanwhile, less than an hour after appearing on the Food Lion video, Andre shows up at a friend's house driving a red Ford Focus with Virginia plates.
Mm.
He is bragging about a girl he met from Virginia, and she has given him some jewelry.
Oh.
A gold chain, some bracelets, and some rings. And he is very proud to show those off.
Oh, no.
So eventually, police catch up with Andre and take him to the police station. In the interview, Andre denies everything.
Of course he does.
He says the witnesses are lying about him.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
Right. Police ask him to at least help find the baby. We need to know where the baby is, hoping that Nicholas is still alive. Andre says, I don't know what you're talking about. He denies being in Greenville.
Jerk.
He denies driving a red Ford Focus. He denies meeting a woman from Virginia. He denies being at a Food Lion. And he denies knowing who Ginger is.
Oh, my gosh.
So at that point, detectives notice some blood on his clothes. So they take them. And some blood on his shoes. So they take those. Andre still denies everything. Later that evening, a man is walking his dog, Charlie. Out.
I went to Minnesota for a minute.
I'm going to come back to the Kakalakis now. Out for a walk in a field near his house in Nash County. Charlie, the dog, alerts on something in the field and thinking it was a, oh God, I must have been hungry because I meant to say snake, but I totally wrote snack.
He noticed a snack. The snack's out.
I must have been hungry when I wrote this. Thinking it was a snake. He walked over to check it out and to call Charlie back so Charlie doesn't get hurt. And when he does, the man finds a baby lying face down amongst briars and honeysuckle.
Stop what you're saying right this minute.
I can't.
You stop it.
I can't stop because I'm in the story now and I don't have another one prepared.
Take it back.
I can't do
it. Skip this part.
I'm not doing it. So this baby is only wearing a diaper and is surrounded by flies.
Oh, God.
So the severely...
You really have to say
I can't.
That.
I can't. I have to do it. The severely sunburned baby is not moving. And about 4 yards away, it actually was 54. No, it was 50 feet, 4 yards. I did math. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
About 4 yards away, a woman was lying on the ground, bloody, beaten, and still. The man gets Charlie and runs back to his house and calls police to report the two dead bodies. When police arrive and they approach the scene, little Nicholas raises his head.
Yes! Oh,
he's alive, but near death.
Oh, my God.
Nicholas. He's rushed to a hospital. He has suffered first and second degree sunburn,
oh, baby.
Scratches, and severe dehydration. A pediatric ER doctor. I'm not sure what country I went to. Maybe.
Hello, doctor.
Dutch. The Dutch.
What's the Dutch?
What's the Dutch country? I don't know. Anyway, they said that Nicholas would not have survived the night if Charlie had not found the baby when he did, Charlie the dog. I'm giving Charlie all the credit. I know the man is the one that ran for help, but I'm just giving Charlie all the credit.
Right. I don't blame you.
Unfortunately, Ginger was not alive.
Right. I'm sorry,
She Ginger. Had been raped
and
strangled and beaten severely.
Oh, Ginger.
She had lived for about 2 hours as she died, face down in the dirt and bleeding near her baby.
Dear God in heaven.
Lady. Damn it, I'm going to have some more bourbon.
Oh, God. Oh, Lordy. I'm going to have to take a swallow myself.
Oh, God, that's so flipping good. Thank you, Noah's Mill. I love you.
Uh-oh, I have to sneeze.
Oh, no, God bless you. Cover yourself. What do you do when you have when you're wearing a mic and you have to sneeze?
I wanted to turn it off, it doesn't mm-hmm. appear.
No,
I don't know.
Can't. We're just going to have to edit it. Or not.
Please.
Anywho, I meant to say later, not lady.
Lady.
Hey, lady. Later, the autopsy. Heavens to Betsy. I need to, excuse me while I guzzle.
Maybe you do need a guzzler. You need a guzzler.
Oh, yeah. I know I can talk now. Okay. Later, the autopsy would reveal that Ginger had a broken neck along with fractures to her skull from at least 4 blows with a heavy object. Across her shoulders and back, she had circular marks that showed rust in them.
What?
I know. She had died from trauma to her head and neck. All of her jewelry was missing.
All of it.
Isn't that interesting? So Nicholas is treated and released from hospital to Jeremy.
Thank you.
Jeremy takes Nicholas to Virginia without a mother for his child and without his wife. Ginger Hayes was 23 years old.
Oh, my Lord.
23.
She was just a baby herself.
I know. Andre is arrested. And upon arrest, well, I don't know why it said upon arrest, because they already took the man's clothes. So I think when they took his clothes, this is when they figured it out.
Right.
But he had all of Ginger's jewelry in his pocket. At the time that Andre kidnapped and murdered Ginger Hayes, he had been charged with 57 crimes in various jurisdictions, mostly in North Carolina. 57.
Shame on North Carolina for letting him walk the streets.
Convictions of weapons charges, assault,
robbery.
He had dodged jail time in most of his convictions. The most that he served was 15 months at a time. But if the system had not worked in his favor, he would have been in jail instead of in Greenville in a CVS parking lot to rape and murder and kidnap Ginger and almost kill that baby.
Oh, my. That is just terrible.
So by the time the case went to court, Nicholas was 3 years old and Jeremy had remarried, God bless his heart, and he was expecting a child with his wife. He actually missed one day of court because the woman went into labor and had her baby.
Oh, for my goodness.
Actually, it wasn't court. I think it was sentencing that he met one day of sentencing. But he was there.
Right.
He was there for everything. The DNA that was found on a rusty tire rim at the scene told investigators that that was the murder weapon. He had found a rusty tire rim.
Wow.
And beat her with it until she died.
Oh, my gosh.
So, Andre is convicted on 11 counts, including first-degree murder, first-degree attempted murder, rape, 2 kidnapping charges. This guy's gone, right?
Well, I certainly hope so.
Well, just hold on to your britches.
Oh, my goodness.
So, at the sentence hearing, they, of course, they're pushing for the death penalty because this guy really, at this point, it's 57 strikes, you're out.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, like, you're done,
you're
mister.
Done. It's
plus,
over.
57 plus 11. Hold on. I'm going to do that math.
68.
I'm doing it in the air. Give me a minute. 68 convictions against him. It's done. We're done. We need to wipe him out. Sorry if he has family that gives a shit about him, but I don't. Anyway, in the death penalty sentencing phase, 2 of the 12 jurors freaking hold out.
Why? Did the DNA on his pants match?
No. Okay. So he got convicted.
Oh, this is the sentencing.
This is sentencing.
Oh, for the death penalty. Okay.
For the death penalty. And there were 2 holdouts. So the man, once again, the system worked in his favor and he did not get the death penalty.
So he got life.
So he got life with no parole.
Okay.
Okay. But I'm just telling you, in today's age, ain't no guarantees.
Well,
there's just
no
guarantees
with the death penalty either.
I understand. But with the, okay, you're right. There's no guarantees with the justice system anymore.
No.
So after the sentencing, Ginger's dad said the system had worked once again for Andre Edwards, and the system had failed Ginger. And yes, I have indeed. To agree with him.
Me too.
So I will tell you that I read an interview with Jeremy, the husband, that took place about a week after the murder happened.
Mm-hmm.
And the reporter was asking about Nicholas, and he said, I know that the professionals have all told me that he won't remember this because he's too young.
Right.
He said, but I watch him sleep at night, and I can tell you I can see the trauma.
Oh, golly. Why did you say that?
He flinches and jumps and cries out in his sleep every single time he falls asleep.
Mm-mm.
So I'm sorry, but that boy is going to suffer all of his life. I know that he'll grow up and may not remember all of it, but there's something in his brain that witnessed it. It's there. It's just sad. It's very sad, isn't it?
I'm so sorry.
I'm so sorry too. Anyway, there was a huge funeral for Ginger Hayes, and she is buried in Shallow, North Carolina.
Oh, wow. How about that?
And Shallow is kind of in between Wilmington and Myrtle Beach on the North Carolina, South Carolina border. I think that's where her family originated from. You know, they lived in Myrtle Beach, but I think they originated from there, and that's where they had a family plot.
Right.
So, and Jeremy has gone on with his life, and like I said, he remarried, and they had at least one child. But I got to tell you, this case really stood out for me because Ginger was doing something that you and I have done a million times.
Oh, yeah.
A million people have done it a million times. And I'm sorry that I am kind of a hard ass about this, but I think as humans, we should have the right to change our baby's diaper in a CVS parking lot in the car and be safe.
Right. Without getting bludgeoned to death and raped.
Yeah. And then dying. And then your child almost dying because of being left out in the elements. Like he literally
like trash.
He tossed that baby out like trash.
Yeah.
He has no regard for human life. I can only hope that in prison, he suffers every single day. Every day. I know I'm supposed to forgive Lord Jesus. I hope you understand that that's just one of my things I can't do. I can't do it. Lord Jesus, please forgive me for not forgiving. But I have a hard time with it when somebody can do that, not just to a woman. And the woman, she was practically a girl. She was 23.
Right.
And then her baby, her 11-month-old baby, and he got $100 and some jewelry. That's all he freaking got.
What a jackass.
Yeah. And the Ford Focus was a rental. So, and that's not even, it's not like he was trying to steal a Cadillac or a Mercedes or, God forbid, a Lincoln. So anyway, that's my case. And I'm just real sorry. RIP Ginger Hayes and little Nicholas. I hope that your life is full of nothing but
joy
and happiness and comfort and safety from now on.
Yes.
So there you have it.
That was a good story, Sugar. It was tough to hear, though.
It was,
but it was a good story.
It was tough, and there was a lesson there.
There was a lesson. Be careful about, you just have to have a buddy system these days.
Not just a buddy system, but you can't, when your people leave you in the car, the doors have to be closed. It has to be locked. I don't care if you have to take the baby seat and put it in the front seat and put the baby on and then change the baby like that. I don't care what you do.
Right.
You cannot be near a car with unlocked doors. Like you can't be in it, next to it, halfway in, halfway out, whatever.
Right.
You just can't do it. So I'm very sorry that that happened to Ginger. Because
me too.
How traumatic that must have been for her. And how traumatic for her husband and her son.
I know.
I mean, the guilt. So anyway,
wow.
Can we just talk about something else, please? I'm really depressed. I'm having a hard time with it.
Well, my first batch of cookies have come out and they really do look like oatmeal pie cookies.
I know. They're nice and round. They're all uniform.
So I'm very excited about
that.
They're
kind of soft.
It took more than 10 minutes though for them to cook in my oven.
Okay.
So I just set it at 8 and then I did 2-minute increments after to see how they would turn out. And I really am measuring them. I'm taking a tablespoon and putting it into a cookie scooper thing to try and get them uniform.
And you're doing a good job.
Thanks.
They look real good. They look professional.
Thank you. That's what I strive for.
I know it is. I know.
So I think maybe we could take a break and...
Yeah, we could take a break.
We don't really even have to... Well, we do kind of have to switch a little bit because I can't be making things while I'm talking about my murder. But no. I have a murder too to talk about.
I know you do. I know. So we'll take a break and maybe you can get that fluff going.
I'll get the fluff going.
And then we'll come back on when everything is ready to go, and then you can talk about your moita.
Sounds good.
And we're going to play a promo on our break, so stay tuned.
That's exciting.
The super familiar with the Wilsons podcast. You know that family whose house you hung out in when you were a kid? The house was a little loud and chaotic, but always fun, and sometimes felt more home than home. Well, that's us.
We're the Wilsons, and we welcome you into our podcast with silly chat, ridiculous games, and interviews with interesting people.
Like a spin doctor. The super familiar with the Wilsons podcast.
Welcome home.
And we're back.
Hey, look at us.
And
somehow we managed to get back.
I know. We found our way back. Look, I took my glasses off.
And unfortunately, Trout has finished all of the mat.
And he's
had a treat. And now he wants to be held. And it's quite honestly too hot right now to hold him. I know we mentioned it was winter weather here.
And it is winter weather.
But because I was a little frightened by the concept that my power could go out sometime in the middle of the night or tomorrow. Because we're supposed to get 1/10 of an inch of ice, I decided to crank the heat up in my apartment to keep it warm. And now I'm just freaking hot.
It's hot because then you had the oven on and
it's
we've been drinking some bourbon.
So I had to go outside and stand for a minute. It is nice and cold out.
It's nice out there. And your dog, well, he's standing on the carpet. So.
Okay. Well, maybe he'll just settle down.
Sit down. What are you going to talk about?
I'm going to talk about a murder that happened in Ord, Nebraska.
Ord.
Ord.
That's definitely Ord.
Ord, Nebraska. And I don't believe we've ever done one in Nebraska.
Not to my knowledge. Yeah. So,
and I can
Nebraska.
Tell you that when this happened. Oh, anyway, I'll get to it.
Okay. Hello, Nebraska.
Hello, Nebraska. May 31st, 1989, Kathy Beard headed to the Someplace Else Tavern.
Ooh, Someplace Else.
She wanted to have a few drinks and chat up with her friends. 31-year-old Kathy worked as a hostess and waitress at Someplace Else.
That's fun.
And she regularly hung out at the bar. At around 6:30 that night, witnesses saw Kathy and another local, John Oldson. Now, it's important. Oldson, because there is a person that comes to play later in the story, and his name is Oldson.
Oh, Lord.
Right. John Oldson. They walk out the back door of the bar. That was the last time anyone ever saw Kathy. She left a half-finished drink, which, police, hello, if you're going to go, you
party foul.
You guzzle.
Yeah,
right?
Or you get a to-go cup.
Her cigarettes. Her jacket and her house key.
She totally thought she was coming
back. And her freaking umbrella. Hello?
She thought she was coming back.
John Oldson had come to the bar with his father, uncle, and two members of a crew that he had been working with laying bricks that day.
Oh, they're bricklayers.
On his way out the door, John borrowed his dad's keys to his pickup truck, to the dad's pickup truck.
Okay.
He's like, Dad, can I borrow your keys?
This is Mr. Oldson.
Oldson, right. Oh, I lost my place.
Oh, here we go.
They all thought he would come back. Like he was just going to go out, you know, have a smoke, whatever, or come back in.
Yeah.
They all thought he would be back, but he didn't come back.
Oh, no.
He did not come back. So eventually they were like, well, hell's bells. We're just going to walk home. It was like a 15-minute walk.
I would have walked home, very, very small. But I would have been real PO'd.
Oh, I'm sure they were. They were blessing him out the whole way. Then they get home and he's at home. He'd just gotten out of the shower and he's headed out the door to the laundromat.
Well, what could he be doing at the laundromat? And why does he need a shower?
Well, he had just gotten off work and then he had some dirty clothes. Durr.
Durr.
Hello.
It happens when you're a bricklayer.
Oh, God, yeah. Imagine.
Yeah, they get real dirty.
And in May, I don't know what it's like in Nebraska, but May here, ugh, sticky,
sweaty.
Hot, nasty.
Real
nasty.
Sweaty.
Yeah. His uncle kind of laughed, smirked as he was leaving and said, hey, did you get lucky? And John said no, that as soon as they had gotten to the alley, Kathy had gotten into a pickup truck with some other guys.
I don't believe
and
him.
Left. Right. The bartender and the owner of someplace else reported Kathy missing that night, and police began their investigation into Kathy's disappearance. On June 2nd, they interviewed John Olson. John told police that he and Kathy had gone into the alley behind someplace else. John said that he had propositioned Kathy for a little touch and feel.
Oh, a little tickle giggle. What's it called? Slap and tickle.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my. Anywho, Kathy turned him down, so John walked to his dad's pickup truck to leave. And as he was leaving, he said he saw Kathy get into another pickup truck. Oh, my words.
A puck-up trick.
Oh, Lordy. More bourbon, please.
Yay!
Another sip. Mm-hmm. On June 6th, Olson was interviewed again by an investigator, this time with the Nebraska State Patrol.
Okay.
Olson told this investigator that he had asked Kathy if she wanted to go out back for a little
slap and tickle,
touch and feel while they were sitting at the bar, but Kathy said no. So he asked her several more times, and finally she agreed.
Well, how many times are you going
to ask? I don't know. Finally, she agreed to go outside to talk to him. He said that they stood by the passenger side of his dad's pickup truck. Again, he asked Kathy to have sex with him. And
Lord,
again, Kathy
John
turned him
Olson.
Down.
Just go home and take care of yourself.
Right.
And get it over with.
Get to getting. This time, Olson said he got mad and tried to grab Kathy by her wrist to try and pull her into the truck.
Because he doesn't know that no means no?
Right. Because he said, of course, what are you talking about? No.
Your mouth
kidding.
Is saying no, but the rest of you is saying yes.
Hell yes. So he said he tried to grab her by the wrist, but she pulled away. And at that point, he said he slid from the passenger side of the truck to the driver's side of the truck, and he started to drive away. At that point, he said he saw Kathy get into another pickup truck.
And he left his family members and crew high and dry at the bar with no ride.
Yeah, and Olson said, I went home and got a bath. After my bath, I got my dirty clothes together, and then I headed to the laundromat. And as I was leaving, I ran into my dad and my uncle. And that's that.
And that's that.
Yeah, that's okay. Just it.
Okay, Johnny.
Police searched his pickup truck at that point, and they did not find anything that linked Kathy to that truck. There was no DNA evidence. There was nothing Kathy-related found in that truck. Nothing. 0, 0, 0. But remember, this is June the 6th. She disappeared on May 31st.
Yeah. Do you think he vacuumed a couple of times?
With no leads in the case.
He took his truck to the laundromat.
Yes. With no leads in the case and obviously no bodies, so they can't prove that Kathy's dead or anything has happened to her, the case goes cold. A resident did come forward about 10 days after Kathy's disappearance to report
disappearance.
What is happening?
It's the bourbon.
Oh, yeah.
It's really good. It just got tons of
relaxed. Oh, something happening. I don't know. Anyway, this person did report that they had seen John Olson cleaning that pickup truck the day after Kathy disappeared. He cleaned it so much that he took the seats out of the truck and hosed the interior down with a water hose.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. While that information did raise suspicions, it wasn't enough to make any kind of an arrest, you know?
Are you sure? Because I feel like it is.
It's still no.
No?
Evidently, in 1989, it won't.
Well, I feel like in these days, it might.
Yeah.
It will.
It will. In April of 1992, someone discovered the remains of a skull on a piece of property locals called Party Hill. So it would be like our
Patrick's.
Right.
Or Hatcher's.
Right, right.
There's
a piece
multiples.
Of property. This was a big piece. It was part of a ranch.
Yeah.
And people did live on the ranch, but not at this particular spot of the ranch.
Had some fields. Drinking fields.
Some plate party. It was Party Hill.
It was Party Fields.
Police were called, and they began searching the property to see if there were any additional bones. And they did find more bones, and they found the sweater that Kathy had been wearing when she disappeared. There was blood on the sweater, and a hole had been cut out in the abdominal section of the sweater.
What?
Right. DNA from the sweater confirmed that the remains belonged to Kathy. They compared the blood sample to her mom, and they were able to confirm. I don't think there was enough teeth for any kind of dental record.
That's
or
a shame.
Anyway, thank goodness the blood was there, else they wouldn't have known, right? A forensic anthropologist said that Kathy had suffered blunt trauma to the chest, face, and skull. She had indications of stab wounds to her wrist, her vertebrae, and her sacrum. So basically the pelvic area. The pelvis. The pelvis.
That's mean.
Police.
That's a mean place to stab somebody. I'm just going to point out right there. That is mean.
That is mean.
It's just mean.
Mean-spirited. Police wanted to talk to John Olson again, and he was real easy to find because he was in jail.
No.
He had been arrested on a sexual assault charge.
Not Johnny.
It seems that John had assaulted a clerk at a gas station, and let me tell you what he did. He grabbed her and pinned her to the ground, raised her shirt, and rubbed her stomach. Gross.
What is that?
That's gross.
What is that?
What I'm telling you is
gross.
Can I
ask what he rubbed his stomach with?
I guess. I don't know.
His appendage?
It didn't say that she was sexually assaulted. Just that
he said,
raised.
It said rape.
Oh, yeah. Sexual assault. Yeah. I don't know what he rubbed on her tummy.
Oh, come
on,
John.
I do not
know. You're a sickoid.
Yeah. That's disgusting. So they go to the jail and they interview him, and his story didn't change. One more time, the case goes cold, because what are you going to do, right? In 2010...
I'll tell you what you do. You put his head in a vice. That's what you do.
Yeah, and I'm not sure when this happened, but he also arrested and sent to jail, I want to say maybe a little bit down further, and I don't think I actually wrote in the story about it. Oh, I know. It was back in 2003. So in 2000, this is 2010, they're now ramping up the case again. They kind of search into his cases, like what you've been up to. And in 2003,
Bozo.
He was incarcerated for sticking needles into his two stepdaughter's stomachs.
What is it with the stomach?
He's got a stomach fetish.
What the fuck?
And there's a word for it, but I couldn't pronounce
that's
it.
That's a thing?
It's a thing.
What a sick ticket.
Really?
Come on. A stomach. Ugh.
I know.
Come on.
So gross. Trout does not like it. Trout,
I don't blame you, Trout. I don't blame you.
That's enough of that.
It's gross. It's just sick.
Terrible. But you like belly rubs. Yes, you do.
But not in that kind of a way.
No. Definitely not. All right. So back to 2010. In an attempt to solve outstanding cases, the Nebraska State Patrol released a deck of cold case cards.
I love it when they do this.
I know, me too. They handed them out to the inmates.
Yeah.
To see if anybody in the
jail.
Yeah,
you want to play some poker?
Right,
some poker.
Hey, can you lay down, little puppy? No, sweet puppy. Oh, sweet boy.
Hey, so we mentioned belly rub.
I know. Here's a belly rub. Yes, you need to lay down. Kathy Beard was the two of spades. That deck. And don't you just know?
La-dee-da.
Some inmates came forward and said, hey, I know that name. There's a guy that talked about her.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Wonder who he was.
Oh, no, no. Police then talked to an old cellmate of Olson's, and he said that Olson had killed Kathy, that he said he did it. He told me he killed Kathy, and look around his stuff because he writes stuff down.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. So police decide they're going to arrest old John for the murder of Kathy Beard, and he is taken to jail to await trial. And just before the trial starts in 2013, John's mama comes in to the police station, and she has with her a diary.
Oh.
A diary.
Just happened to surface.
And it is a diary that says that Kathy Beard had actually been sold to a ranch in Nebraska, and she was a sex slave. And the people that owned that place.
Whose mama is this?
John's mama.
Mama, stay out of it.
John's mama. Mm-hmm. And they said, she said, somebody delivered this in an unmarked envelope to my mailbox.
Gladys,
and it says right here.
Sit down and shut up.
That Kathy Beard was on that sex ranch and that she was killed on that ranch.
And my son had nothing to do with
my
it.
My son didn't do
He's a good boy.
So, of course,
he just likes to rub a belly every once in a while.
He just likes a good belly rub.
That makes me cringe. Ugh.
So, of course, now police have to investigate it, right? Because you can't get evidence like that and not investigate it.
I suppose.
So they go out to this ranch, and the man that had lived out there has passed away.
Okay.
His wife is still there and still alive, and she's 90.
90.
And they start to interview her, and she's like a preacher's wife. They're like, no.
Yeah, exactly. She's like, a what kind of witch?
What did you say? And they said to her, is there anybody that would, that you know, that would do something like this, that would say that you had a sex slave?
Ooh, she must have been dear, don't say that.
And she said, actually, yes, that when my husband died, there was a ranch hand named John Olson.
Okay.
Who was very mad because he felt like that he should have inherited part of the ranch.
Okay.
And he did not. And
no,
he got
I'm
real
still
mad.
Living on it.
So they go and find this John Olson, and he admits, I made up the diary.
There he really delivered it to Gladys?
Yes.
Lord have mercy. Sorry, Gladys. I thought you were in on it.
Yeah, he did. And
but
it was all
fake. Still a freakatoid.
Yes, very freaky. But yeah, no, that pit turned out to be a lie, and they did charge John Olson with obstruction.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, and tampering with a case. What is that? The tampering thing.
I thought it was obstruction.
There you go.
Or could it be witness tampering?
No,
because she wasn't a witness.
No.
Just let's say obstruction.
There was some obstruction. There was a situation.
Mm-hmm.
So John's trial starts. Now, this is very interesting because it's 2013. This happened in 1989,
yeah.
And there is not one piece, not one shred. Oh my goodness, Trout is having a panic attack.
Oh, Trout.
Just having a panic.
We still need some buy me a coffee money and killer vanilla money to get Trout some kind of a therapy or some kind of doggy bourbon like we talked in our New Year's resolution.
Oh, yeah, that's right. We got to come up with a doggy bourbon.
Yes.
Here's the good news. Now that we've got these microphones that we can walk around with,
mm-hmm.
I just sit on the sofa and he can get all his issues quietly resolved.
We'll see when we do the playback.
Yes.
As he sneezes.
So, like I said, there was no physical evidence to present, but Olson did make some incriminating statements while he was in jail waiting for his trial because they just cannot keep their mouth shut.
They really can't.
They go to jail and they're like, oh, I'm in jail and talk.
Yeah. Diarrhea of the mouth.
And phone calls.
Yeah.
I'm going to call people and I'm going to say
people
things.
And tell things and then nobody will ever know.
He's talking to his wife on the phone and he's like, there can't be any DNA evidence, right? Like, I'm trying to figure out what they might have on me. And she's like, well, they shouldn't have anything on you because you didn't do it,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
He's like, yeah. But just in case, you know, I told you I grabbed her wrist. Maybe she bumped her head and there was blood or something and they got it. Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's what happened.
I think he cut that sweater out because he rubbed something
off
on that sweater.
Yes.
He was trying to do the belly rub.
That is what the prosecutor thought
it
as well.
It makes me gag.
Yeah.
Like I'm serious.
It's very disturbing.
It's so, God.
It's a fetish and it has a name and I don't know what
it is
because I don't want to know it.
I don't want to know that this exists.
No.
I can't unhear it.
No. He also wrote in a journal while he was in jail. He didn't come right out and say that he did it, but he certainly didn't help his case with some of what he wrote. Several women testified at the trial that when Olson would get mad at them, that he would threaten to do to them what he had done to Kathy to keep them straight.
Okay, mm-hmm. Champ.
This is one of the statements that he wrote in his journal. I guess the whole import of this thing with the missing one has not hit home yet, but it should, as they are now looking for charges. If they do prefer charges, well, damn. I don't see how they can hang me for anything.
He just can't help himself.
He cannot.
Can't stop talking or putting pen to paper. Just keep your thoughts in your thoughts. Keep your thoughts in your innards.
And another excerpt that I read, he talked about, he called them bellies, stomachs, middles, He was like, I don't care what you call it. I just love it.
Oh, what? Where does and that
then,
come from?
I know. And then he starts rating women that he liked the most, right? And he,
according to their bellies?
According to his experience with them, belly and all. Mm-hmm. And he kind of puts them in order about who he liked the best. And he said, you know, obviously CB was the best of all. That was the best experience of my life. Yeah.
He's not very smart.
No. No.
It's because these murderers have these egos.
Right.
That they have to consistently feed.
Yeah. Like, nobody's going to think I did it. No. Well, yeah, you're weird. You're weird.
You're a weirdo, John.
You're a weirdo.
John Olson.
Olson.
Way
you,
to go.
You were not right.
Champ.
No.
You're a chump.
You're a chump.
Champ.
That's right. So... Yeah, he didn't. It's just, he was nasty. He was just nasty. Nasty. It took a jury 6 hours to convict him of second degree murder.
I'm surprised it took that long. I guess they had to order dinner.
Well, I think they got, there was no, it was all circumstantial.
I
think that's the hardest part of the whole thing is that it was all circumstantial.
Yeah.
I'm actually a little bit surprised. If he hadn't written in those journals.
And talked.
And the jurors actually got to read excerpts from the journals when they went back to deliberate. So I think they had a lot to go
through. In his handwriting.
Yeah. Anyway, they say he guilty. He did
it. Guilty.
He guilty.
He guilty.
And he was sentenced to life in prison. And then right after that case ended, he immediately requested a new trial, saying, you read my journal. You're not allowed to read my journal.
Why?
Because that's private.
I understand, well, I but it's an investigation.
Private. That's right. That's not private. Anyway, there's all kind of legal blah, blah,
blah. Yeah, yeah.
And the judge said, no, you're not getting a new trial. You need to go spend your life in prison. Mm-hmm. He did appeal his case in 2016. And he cited, like, it's pages and pages and pages of document
of course,
about how.
Because he's been spending time in the law library.
Exactly.
Now he's got stuff to say.
That appeal was denied. He ain't getting out. Mm-mm. He ain't getting out. Trout's now trying to play ball. He never plays ball. Never. I don't even know where this ball came from.
I don't
just don't know.
God help us.
I know. He's just too cute. Oh, he's so sweet.
That ball's as big as his head.
And that's my murder. That is my murder. God
so
bless.
He was convicted and he was sent to jail.
Life.
Life.
He got life. He's and he comes that.
But next is it time not, but it's not life, no parole.
Well, he comes up for parole again in 2023, but he hadn't had any success since he's been in jail.
All right. Well, everybody in Nebraska needs to go and find out when that is and go write the judge and write the parole board and write the everything and go to the hearing.
Listen,
and
I'd like to know how many. I mean, there are probably people that are like, dude, he's not safe to the community because every time he comes to the parole board, he asks everybody to show their stomach.
He says, can everybody wear a belly shirt, please?
I request the board wear a belly shirt.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And nasty, my attorney.
Nasty, nasty fella.
Ew,
that's gross.
He's grody. Okay. Well, that's two interesting murders that we've knocked out.
Oh, I was going to tell you one thing. When they were looking for Kathy's body, They knew it was Kathy. Even, I mean, they had to do the DNA test just to verify, but because there was nobody else reported missing in Ord at that time.
Oh.
So it really couldn't have been anybody else mm-mm. unless somebody
well, I mean,
from
it
out of town
been somebody was
somebody.
Out of town.
Right. But
yeah.
Anyway, there you go. Ord, Nebraska.
Ord, Nebraska.
Someplace else tavern.
Nebraska. Okay.
I don't know a lot about Nebraska.
I don't know anything about Nebraska. Mm-mm. No, we should learn.
Yeah.
Shame
I
on
know
us.
That in 1989, there was a terrible murder.
Well, and
by,
there's a place called
belly,
someplace
a belly
else
toucher.
Bar. A bad belly toucher. Oof. And I can just say that we should learn more about Nebraska so that we do not continue to be Nebraska ignorant.
I will learn 3 facts about Nebraska and have them ready for our next podcast.
And now you've got homework.
And I would find another murder in Nebraska, but this is the only one I found there so far.
Oh, gosh. Well, Nebraska seems to be a good place to live.
Maybe.
Mm-hmm.
I don't
as
know.
Long as
is that where the children of the corn were? I don't know.
I don't know. But they need to keep that belly toucher.
I know.
In
that's a thing in Nebraska.
That's
not okay with it.
You got a risk area there.
Exactly.
That's a risk area. So, yeah. All right. Well,
we made it. Oh, gosh. We got to taste our thing.
Please.
Oh,
hello.
While you're doing that, I'm going to talk about social media and blah, blah, blah.
Oh, right. So, I said, oh, right.
So just to remind people, we are no longer on Podbean. So if you used to listen to us on Podbean and you're trying to listen to us right now on Podbean, you're not listening to us.
Oh.
So we're not on Podbean. And in the transition, if you ever listen to us on our Google, not our Google, on our webpage, Sugarcoated Pod, we're not, it's not up and running. I got to figure out how to transfer it over to our new network. So you can find us on the Believe Network. If you go to believe.com, BLEAV.com, and you can just type in the search, Sugarcoated Murder, we'll come up and you can listen straight from there. But then we're on all the other places too.
Oh, yeah, still. Spotify and all that.
Yeah, it has taken a little bit of time to get us transferred over, but we're still on Apple. We're still on Spotify. iHeart, we're still switching over, but it's going to show up, Pandora, all that stuff. We're still on Alexa. We're still on Amazon Music. We're on all the, a bunch of the, like, Podchaser, Stitcher. We're still on those. So just be patient. I know that if you're listening to this, somehow you found us.
Yay.
So we appreciate that.
Good job.
I know. And just don't
forget.
We've
missed you. Thank you so much for your patience.
We so appreciate that y'all have been patient. We've gotten a lot of people that have checked in on us, which was really sweet. And I'm sorry that it just, COVID just hit us really, really hard. And it just has, it really took a toll.
Yeah. And I mean, obviously, I didn't see Karen for
at least 2 weeks.
Yeah. 14 days, I guess. I would leave groceries on her doorstep and go, but we never laid eyes on each other.
No, my whole family got it.
Yeah.
So,
but,
and you and your boy didn't.
Me and my boy did
and
not.
And that's crazy because we were together Christmas Eve and Christmas Day.
I know. By the grace of God.
I know, by the grace of God. So we all got it. My husband and I are still the only, I think we're the only two that are really still trying to get over it. Maybe my daughter's got some tiredness issues too. But we thank you for your patience and we thank you for everybody that reached out to check on us and to wish us well. That was so sweet of y'all and we just love y'all to pieces.
We do.
We still have all of our social media. It's the same Instagram at Sugarcoated Murder. We're at Sugar Murder on Twitter and we're on Facebook. We've got the fan page and we've got the Facebook page, Sugarcoated Murder Podcast. So you can still reach us. Our email is still the same, murder.sugarcoated@gmail.com. And now we're going to taste these cookies. Mm-hmm. You already have some
I
in
took
your
a
mouth.
Bite. You were talking and I was like, oh, I'm just going to eat this.
Oh,
isn't that crazy?
This is so good.
It is so good.
I'm going to say it's an elevated Little Debbie.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Gosh, my husband is going to be so excited about this. This is so, guys, this is really good. This would be a really great thing for a
birthday
bake sale.
Oh,
yeah.
Yes, and we said we were going to do a bake sale.
Well, we're still working on it.
In 2022, so this would be a good item for that.
Yeah, this might be a good item for us to be able to ship out because I think it would ship well.
Mm-hmm.
All right, guys, y'all stay sweet.
And don't murder.
Because if you murder. No,
I did it wrong
because I was looking at you.
What?
And I knew that you always say
it's
it wrong.
It's my fault.
Yeah, because I was trying to jump in there so you wouldn't say what you always say. If you kill people,
we will talk about you.
And we love y'all pieces. Bye, y'all.
This has been Sugarcoated Murder Podcast, a deliciously entertaining true crime podcast. Like what you heard? You can always explore past episodes by visiting sugarcoatedpod.com. Don't forget to like our Facebook fan page and share with friends. Thanks for listening to Sugarcoated Murder Podcast.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.